Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. We're back. This is your hostess, Kat, and co-hostess for today. Co-host for today. I'm out of practice. Carla's back.
I don't even know what to do with that. I am not going to address it. I'm simply going to move on.
Let it go. We're both, like, I'm on with sinus medication, so I'm loopy. Mm-hmm. And he's on something else, huh? You know.
I don't know. It's a very medicated episode of Sci-Fi Party Line.
And we have to be medicated, and you know why? Because we're going to discuss Skyline.
Oh.
Now, I saw this trailer, and I was interested in it. Yes. Then I saw the reactions on Twitter, and I got less interested. But Carl steamrolled ahead, saw the thing. Then he was like, "Oh, I don't know about it. Let's talk. Go see it so we can, you know." Talk about it on the show. And so he saw it on like maybe Thursday, the opening night or so.
That's right. First showing in our area.
In which it made $4 million that night. And then we went through the whole weekend. I didn't see it the whole weekend. I was trying to put it off.
Mm-hmm.
Carl's like, "Oh, are you going to see Skyline?" I was like, "Well, I don't know. I'm not feeling it." He's like, "Well, it's up to you." Then come Monday, the guy texts me again. "So, you gonna see Skyline?" I was like, "Damn it, I'm not gonna get it. I thought I got out of it." And so here he is with the claws, forcing me to see Skyline. And I saw it. And what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, the first thing, I just want to be completely accurate about the chronology of events here.
That was accurate, pal.
You got to flesh out the details, though. The truth is, yes, I absolutely saw Skyline opening night, that midnight Thursday night. So before I saw any of the reviews, before anything, I was the first generation here on the East Coast to partake of the magic that we call Skyline. And so moments literally in the parking lot outside the movie theater, me and my media posse began texting everyone that we knew. We posted and said, "Please, people, this movie, you are not going to believe what is going down here." We let folks know that perhaps this was not going to be a cinematic tour de force. So 2 a.m. Friday morning, I got proof. The texts are out there saying this is not the most epic adventure that you're going to experience. So now, when I was asking you about the film, it's true. It's your choice. You can choose to see it or not. But you have to realize, Kat, you are the voice of the people. You see, your fans demand that you partake of these things because, you see, they're waiting to hear your probing analysis.
They don't want to see me in pain. They don't want to see me in pain. You're the only person that want to see me in pain.
Well, yeah, I also wasn't going out alone on this.
You know, I didn't make you watch Birdemic.
No.
I did not make you watch Sharktopus.
No.
You watch Vampire Girl versus Frankenstein Girl.
Although you strongly encouraged me to partake of that, which I still might actually watch.
You just get in there and you make me suffer every time. Let me tell you about this thing. Opening weekend, it made $11 million. I don't know how much was spent on it, but not a lot of people. See, when people start ragging on stuff, it makes me want to see it because I think, oh, you know, they're ragging on it. One person ragged on it. Then there's the negative snowball effect where it's cool to rag on it. Like, you know, episode one, but that's justified. We're not going to talk about that. But everyone was completely justified. I mean, this thing could have been on the Sci-Fi Channel, Sci-Fi Original. It was a little better than a Sci-Fi Original. Could you agree with that?
Yes, it was a little bit better than a Sci-Fi Original movie. Yes.
Now, this is not my own thought, but I think I read on Twitter or Facebook or something that Skyline is a view of what happened to the characters in the background of ID4 and like maybe Cloverfield 2.
Oh boy.
It had monsters from The Matrix. It had aliens and monsters from every flick out there was so derivative.
It just, everything went wrong. Everything went wrong with this film. When I saw the previews, and I admit, I was excited to see Skyline before I went to the theater, before I saw it. Because look, it's got hydraulics. Were the guys that did the special effects behind this. And they have done some awesome effects for a bunch of different movies.
They used your red camera. With the Mysterio X chip.
They had all of the necessary gear to make this. And it looked great. Here's the thing. When you look at the previews, when you look at the commercial, when you look at what's online, even the stills.
I knew we were in trouble.
Why? No, wait,
because
a minute now.
I figured out that we were sitting. This movie had, you know, no offense, B-list actors.
This is
and
true.
And when you see a lot, like all, every one of them were second in command actors.
One was literally a star of a sci-fi channel television series, right? That was not a strong endorsement for
me. The one that I don't like, Haven.
Yeah.
And his hair pisses me off, but we're not going to, you know, do that today. Where were we going? Oh, you said this film had everything. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Now, to me, in my opinion, looking at the previews, looking at the ads that came out for it, especially that one with what's his name? The reporter guy, Dan Rather. Dan Rather in it.
What?
Where he's leading in there. The tension that they were building, the beautiful effects that were going on, even the stills for the movie, the stills where you see them standing in the window looking out over the city, everything looked really good. And so I recognized that this was going to be a low-budget film or, you know, a relatively low-budget film. All of that was out ahead of time. But I figured that, you know, hey, hydraulics, these guys have the special effects power, which is what suffers the most when the budget is low. I figured that because they knew that they didn't have a lot of money and they had their special, and they were kings of the special effects, that they were going to try to make a bottle movie, something kind of small. But when you do that, your main emphasis has got to be, just like old Twilight Zone, just like old Outer Limits, you got to have a strong script. If you're going to keep people in a room for an entire, seriously, one room for an entire movie, you got to have a script that...
Oh, I thought you were talking about us, the audience. If you're going to keep us in a room, you need to... But yeah.
So I went in there with really, really high hopes. And see, here's the other thing about Skyline. I think it's the differential that made it fail. There are some movies, when you go in there, you've seen the previews, and your expectations are down here. You know, all right, I like the star. I think it's cheap. I'm bored on a Saturday night. My expectations are here. And so you go in, and when the movie delivers here, you're like, okay, yeah, all right. That's kind of about what I was expecting.
That was the first ending. The first ending of this movie, I could have walked out like that. But they had to go there.
Okay, wait.
But we're skipping ahead, we'll talk about that.
Speaking of skipping ahead, I think the elegant art of sequential storytelling is getting underrated these days. When we walked into Skyline.
Oh, God, yes.
The opening sequence of the film is when our, quote, stars first see the blue light and the effect it has on them. He's being pulled to the window and 14 hours earlier. Now, I hate that. We have survived the event.
We've seen that.
We have survived
so many
flash
times.
Forward.
Yes.
We've
lost.
This
we've just seen it so many times.
Time. So you figure if they're going to do that, there's got to be a reason that, you know, okay, so we've seen that, and you're sitting here in the movie, and you're trying to go with what the narrative that they're giving you. So, okay, we see that start, and then they take us back to the party, and boys on the plane, and all that stuff. So you're thinking that we saw that scene at the beginning, and we're going to see some foreboding or something about the story is going to make sense why we did that 14-hour earlier jump to...
Oh, I forgot about that whole thing once the movie started.
And the worst thing is when the sequential, quote, sequential rest of the timeline caught back up to where the movie started.
Still didn't make sense.
It was the exact same scene. It was the exact, I mean, I really think they may have even looped the film on it. That it was the same scene. Now, the premise behind Skyline, I'll also admit, is what really intrigued me. The idea.
There was intrigue associated with this movie?
Before we saw it, yes, think about it now. The idea of an alien light that could, you know, take over people and we're pulling them out of their homes.
I didn't know that. prior to
what? The you didn't know that prior to that was
no. All I've seen was maybe a short trailer where it was okay. really cool looking, and you saw the ships, and you was like, "Oh, this looks like this would be, you know, a cheap ID4
the or three
something
previews,
like."
The three well, two of the three previews that I saw had the blue light, and it was they made it very clear that it was the blue light that was pulling people out of their homes and that was converting them. You could see the little, you know, tendril shot or whatever. So the idea that I said, hey, this is going to be really interesting. This that was the main thing that got me, besides, you know, the effects look good. The idea of what that blue light meant and what it did. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that really got me into this film. So the second time that we see the opening scene, you know, where he's been pulled to the window and his buddy tackles him, you know, the light cuts off and he falls to the ground. All this time we've been primed. We're ready to know what is up with the light. What is the light? So he's laying on the ground. His buddy's all leaning on him. He's going, hey, so you looked into the light. What did you see? What did you see? The first time everybody, we're all on the edge of our seats. We want to know, what did he see? He says, I was drawn to the light. We know you were drawn to the light the first time that we saw it, and that was the second. That's the best that they could do.
The light made him feel power, like he was powerful. No,
that's not what he said then.
That came later in the movie, right? Later.
People have been sucked out of cities. The whole point, as an audience, we're interested in the blue light. We want to know what the heck is going on. He didn't even answer the question. What did you see? I was drawn
to the
blue
light. He was shaking up, man. He was traumatized. You got to cut him some slack. I will cut him slack right there. That's the only slack they get in this movie right there.
There is no slack in this movie. There will be no slack in Skyline. To say it was derivative of everything that
understatement.
But it's the worst. It is the worst of these films. The thing that I did not like about Cloverfield, all right, I did not like the people of Cloverfield.
Seemed like the cast, it's like next door neighbors to Cloverfield people, but exactly. In L.A.
Thank you. And so to have even less interesting people doing the very same thing that we saw in Cloverfield, it was uninteresting to watch. The characters were so thin.
We didn't have to deal with some crazy person with the camera documenting the whole thing. You know, thank God for that.
Yeah, but really, that it felt about the same, strangely. It had that same kind of...
Yeah, true, but I'm glad we didn't have to put up with that. Another thing, these characters were super stupid.
Oh, like, my God.
I mean, aliens in the sky pulling people up, you know, they see you, they throw their tentacles out. What would make you fixate on trying to get to water? They kept fixating on, we need to get to water.
We need to get to the water because the aliens aren't over the water. Hello, the aliens were going where the food was.
They
have flying ships, for crying out loud. Why would you think that? That was the stupidest premise. That was bone-shattering dumb right there. Just like, what?
And then after it went awry the first time, dude wanted to do it again. Mm-hmm. There was a shot in there that was very ID4, right in the middle of the film, where the military came in with the jets or the bombers or whatever. Yeah,
I think it was a stealth fighter drone or something. With the bomber in it.
So mm-hmm. They came in and they approached the thing and they were shooting and they had the one lone one getting in there at the end to get a nuke to it. It fell. It was like, woo, this is like, that is the moment when I was like, wow, this is like ID4 from the people looking, you know, at the whole thing from their condo.
Yes,
you
which know, is far Burbank. Less interesting than being in the crop duster that takes out the ship. You know,
there's ID4 happening right there. And then the thing, another thing that I thought the monsters were really cool. And I also thought that when the ship got nuked, it went down. They thought they were dead. They had the creepy crawlies come out and the ship. What do you call that? What did it do? It came back to life. Snakes don't do that. Whatever. It came back to life and reconnected itself. And I thought, hey, that's really cool. And that's it. That's the extent of the coolness of this.
Look, you were talking about all of the special effects. The special effects in this movie were incredible.
Yeah.
There is no doubt.
They
were pretty. The aliens were, I mean, although we had seen them before, they felt real. You know, as they were chasing people alongside of the pool from one side of the condo complex to the other.
Why were they fixated on this condo?
Well, the reason they were fixated on this condo is because apparently one of the guys lives there. I mean, one of the creators of the movie lives there. Oh. So they just thought they'd shoot where they were. And so this...
Wow.
Condo is,
Interesting.
I was looking for some excuse regarding this movie. The first thing that just jumps out at you is how what lack of story there is.
The monsters, what were their motivation?
I had to figure out. I said, what in the world happened here? So while sitting in the parking lot immediately after the motion picture, after texting
contemplating
my friend,
suicide,
I hit Google. I had to find out about the writers of Skyline. I said, what happened here? What is going on? And I found an article in a school paper. It was the Boston University Today. Boston University has a journal or newspaper, BU Today, with an article where they interviewed the guys that wrote it. Because they are, I think Liam O'Donnell, one of the writers, went to Boston University. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, man, here we go. So I'm reading it, and I'm trying to figure out. The first question that pops up on this thing is, how did you prepare to write the script? Now, I don't know if the people have read it, had seen the movie before they did the interview. But the guy who's doing the interview asked, how did you prepare to write the script? This is what O'Donnell responded in the article. He says, quote, as soon as we had the concept, we wanted a different take on it. Like the siren or a mythological invasion. We thought of this blue light, a syndrome that makes you look and then pulls you out and sucks you up into the ship. It was something like a fire in the sky. Now, okay, I'm digging. I'm with that. But this is what he says. I wrote a 3-page treatment in one night. My co-writer did the same thing. The next morning, we lined them up. We took the best from both, and then we worked tirelessly for a month writing a 35-page treatment, and then we had the script. One night with two writers may not have been enough time to invest.
I mean, this thing was low budget, but awesome effects. But they didn't even make the thing funny.
It wasn't funny.
There was no wisecracking. It was just so pointless. Can we talk about the end of this thing? I mean, we'll loop back around to other things, but...
Oh, you want to just jump to the fun part then, huh?
We're talking in circles at this point. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we get, where Batista, lights his Batista from Dexter, because that's the Hispanic guy with the...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's from Dexter. I love that guy. And that's one of the reasons why I saw the movie, because I really he's so strangely hot for some reason. I don't know. But after he blew himself up with the alien, I was smoking the cigarette and blah, blah, blah.
The cigarette lighter scene, trying to detonate the gas where he drops the lighter. We've never seen that before in a movie, motion picture series. That had me on the edge of my seat for its novelty. I'm sorry, go on.
Mm-hmm. I'll forgive your outburst. So, they get to the point where they're on the roof. They went to the roof thinking they're going to get saved by the military from some odd reason. Like, no, there's a helicopter. It's going to whisk us away. And then I didn't quite understand why he thought that. I mean, they were in a building. All they had to do was go down to a basement, grab some food, grab water, stuff like that. Go down to some place without windows and, just kind of sit the thing out. But no, they had the crazy crap with the blinds and the let's not look at the TV, and then they were cop blocking it was just dumb. So we're on the roof. I don't know what happened. He gets killed or almost gets killed, and then he gains his Rambo power and his eyes change and he kills the alien. And there's this scene where lead guy is punching rubber alien thing on the top of the thing after he tried to take his girl, and it was just so awful that you're seeing this guy just punching his mouth is open, so you know whatever goo that you know the staff put in there is just getting all over the place, and it just looked like he was punching a big rubber.
It did. That was the worst effect. When he starts beating up on that alien, and you can tell just the way it was shot, the camera angle or something.
And then what he was doing, because
the plastic.
Yeah, it's like he was, what? I mean, it was like he was beating on a laundry basket or something. I don't.
And see, the other thing is,
between two laundry baskets, I don't know what that.
When you're doing something like that, you really want to have some sort of a emotional crescendo. Like, he's really coming to his power. He's trying to save his girl. You're supposed to be tied up in the emotion of him with his bare hands taking on this alien invader. No, it totally had none of that at all.
It was going for that. I just was so distracted by how something, when the way the alien was moving, it just looked like he was hitting a laundry basket filled with Jell-O and it wasn't doing something right. And then the way he was hitting it with his back was weird. And, oh, it was miserable.
None of these characters were likable in this film. I mean, at every emotional trigger, he's supposed to be a new father, or, you know, he just found out he's a new father. So, wow. First of all, he goes, I forget what he says, but basically he didn't seem thrilled about it.
I'm not ready for this.
That didn't make him sympathetic. You know, we got his buddy, his friend is sleeping with the two girls at once. And that didn't make a Faison seem all that exciting. How it happened was not particularly involving at all. You remember when those two were having their little discussion and he just pops out the bathroom, pulling up his pants. He's like, oh, see you guys. Excuse me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing really worked in the film. And it was amazing how badly, how cliched, how transparent, how uninteresting. It was worse than a special effects reel. It was worse than a special effects reel. Because at least then you know what you're getting when you go in. The other thing is, I thought about it and I realized that this movie was the blue light. Seriously, you were minding your own business. You were at home. And the blue light ad came on. It drew you into the theater, right? You're sitting there, and the light hits you to the full, and then the veins start. You're in the theater, and you can feel the veins starting to come out of your head. And then I honestly had the sensation during this film that my brain was being sucked out of my head and used for nefarious extraterrestrial purposes. The movie was the blue light, and that was the magic of Skyline.
Carl. It was bad.
What the hell, hydraulics? What the hell? That's
man.
All I got.
Man, oh, and then, you know, after all that fighting and stuff, they just kind of gave up and they got sucked up into the light. They were kissing.
Yes,
up into the light. And then I was like, okay, and seeing this thing is over. Let me get my purse and let me get the hell out of
sky. This movie is over. My brain is gone at last.
No.
But no.
They did not leave it there. They had to go the extra step that really sucked my brain out, which was... So, because our hero, you know, withstood the light, he somehow became changed, and it made him a super hybrid of human and ridiculous alien who, like, how many of... Okay, whatever, we're not going to do that. So, you know, all of the aliens have the blue eyes, but when he got his brain sucked out, he turned into an alien, but he had... red eyes.
Yeah, well, see, they put his red brain into the alien body.
Because his brain was red, right?
His brain was red. That's how we knew. Because the audience isn't quite quick enough to figure out that that brain belongs to him. So they had to make it flashing in red, just so we knew.
Right. So it was different. And so throughout the film, the guy was to his girlfriend. Every time she got upset, he'd do this thing where he'd run his finger along the top of her forehead down to the ridge of her nose. I knew they were doing it for a reason. Mm-hmm. Every time they did it, he did it like three times.
This movie is is so subtle. You don't get the where it's going at any time. It's not like it's projecting constantly what's about to happen. So I didn't see it. I did not
so
see it.
So he became the red-eyed alien versus the blue-eyed alien. And while they're in the pit of slime and goo writhing around like some weird, what's the guy's name who did the alien Geiger film or something?
Oh, H.R. Yes.
He, yet another, you know, they were getting ready to suck her brain out and kill the baby.
Well, they were going to suck the baby first, remember, because it was
because the baby had a brain.
Taking babies.
Right. So it's going to take baby brain. And he was like, oh, hell no. And so he started beating up on blue eye aliens. He, oh, I'm mad now. I'm pissed and I got power. And then after she saw like, oh, there's a red eyed alien. And she was like scared. And then, you know, he took his new alien claw and runs it down from her middle of her forehead down to the ridge of her nose. And I wanted to stab somebody. Mainly you, Carl. Mainly you.
I didn't make the film. That's all
you
I'm saying.
You demanded that I saw
when I saw this.
What is wrong with you? What do you hate me?
When I saw this, the first person I thought that I needed to talk to about it. I mean, the movie wasn't even over, and I was like, "Cat, where Cat at? We gotta talk about this mess because it was just unforgivably bad at every turn. Everything was wrong. The lines were cliche. The characters were uninteresting. The editing was odd. You know, it was just one thing after another. The pacing was just horrible. It was shot in pretty much one room the whole time. We were watching the action, the main action, the motion picture through a telescope. We're watching people watching action through a telescope. Why would that be interesting? No. It was. You know, one of my favorites is M. Night's.
Here we go. Why are you making a bad podcast episode worse?
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites is M. Night's Unbreakable, where they create a superhero, they create a supervillain.
Are you doing water
they
again?
Build the tension. They build the tension, and then at the end of the movie, instead of a crescendo between the bad guy and the good guy, they print on the screen what happened between the two of them. Okay. That ending.
I really don't remember that movie.
Don't worry.
I saw it. I know I saw it, but I think the ending traumatized me so that every time you speak about it, it's like, I really don't remember that.
Okay, that was one of my all-time favorite endings. So when I saw the ending of this motion picture, where the slime monster reaches out to grab his girlfriend and then begins to make the escape, and it is still slide animated. Like, you know, drawings from a comic book where they show him grabbing his girl and punching out of it. Not live action, mind you. These were still hand-drawn characters. This was the grand escape at the end of the movie. That was horrible. That was the worst possible. You keep thinking it's not going to get any worse, which, by the way, much like the light, had me hypnotized. I was like, this can't get worse. It cannot. It's got to get better after this. And they just kept doing worse and worse. That was the worst possible way to go out, to actually draw whatever. It's high drawings of aliens.
I don't even remember that, honestly.
Oh, you trust me. You had probably blacked out at that point.
Yeah, because after I saw him run his claw down her face, I was like, you know what? I'm done.
People in the theater with me, because you know, when you go on opening night, you got a sort of a vocal crew, you got a very passionate group. So seriously, we were in that theater all together. We were all together, and when that scene ended and the credits started going, there was this silence in the audience where everybody was like, "Oh hell no!" and the guys in front of me, I did not know them. I had met them before. They turned around and they looked at me. And they went, y'all just see that? I can't believe it. I can't believe people were like, oh my God, what was that? What was
That's
that mess?
Terrible.
So that, I don't believe, is the reaction you want from the entire audience of a motion picture on opening weekend.
Because you can't even say, well, you know, you just didn't look at it right. It's a matter of, it's not like our argument on Scott Pilgrim. You know what I'm saying? It's not great like that, because some people... you know, everybody has their opinion about that movie. Some people really love it. There's no gray area here with Skyline. I have not heard one person try to defend this movie, one person try to say anything about anything positive.
What I don't understand, again, if you are making a major motion picture, one that costs millions of dollars, I think this one was something like 20 some million to make.
Shut up.
Well, that's pretty cheap, actually. But the point is you're really wondering where it went. But still, 20 million. I understand things get designed by committee and get watered down or whatever. But the whole beauty of hydraulics being behind this, and those guys, you know, the guys that run the effects shop wrote this, they have a lot of creative control.
Hydraulics did Iron Man 2, A-Team, Avatar, 2012. Just because I didn't know who they were, I had to look them up. Aeon Flux, Fantastic Four, Constantine.
I mean, these guys, they've been doing, and you know, they put the little joke in there that they were special effects. The characters were special effects guys. Remember, that's what their job was.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
They had a degree of creative control as well as experience of doing this kind of stuff in the past. At what point did they see this assembled film and go, yeah, this works? I mean, they look at what they've been through in the past, all of the stuff that they've done. How can you sit there when you finally see this movie cut together and go, I'm comfortable with the product that I have made. This is our first foyer into this. We want to, you know, get ourselves out there.
Man, maybe they was working on it and it's just like, screw it. Let's just turn it in. I'm tired of looking at it. It's a turd. We can't polish it anymore. Just get it out of here.
I will bet you anything. The fans at home will be able to, once they get the sucker on DVD.
Or maybe they'll just, if you buy this thing on DVD, I don't have any respect for you.
Let me just finish. What I'm saying is,
I don't know if I want you to finish.
Got access to the original material, but they could cut it, not with the actual characters, but they could cut it in the special effects and write on their own version of how this movie should have gone. Set it in your own bedroom, people. You can film your parts in the bedroom, your friends, run alongside the and intercut the special effects. And I know you can do a better job.
All right, that's
serious.
What you and I are going to do. We're going to do both of us on our cold medication, get there with some pen and paper.
We could shoot it on our iPhones. It would be epic.
Straight up FaceTime. FaceTime movie.
Thank you. And I'd be like, oh no, Cat, the monster is coming after me. I must save you. And then I'll just start beating up on like a tub mat or something, you know, shampoo around.
I'm pregnant. It's from the alien. It has.
I don't think I'm ready for this, especially since my buddy's getting busy in the bathroom right behind me. I bet you that we could come up with a better version than that. But I just don't understand how this could have happened. Really,
this was a disaster.
It was.
It was a disaster.
And again, see, I always harp on this point, and you know, I say it time and time again. What I really don't understand is, you think about classic Outer Limits, you think about Twilight Zone, you think about all of the old classic sci-fi, which had literally $8 to put stuff together. The idea behind it is they had a killer story where you related to the people, you got drawn in, something interesting was happening between the characters, and then in the context of the science fiction is what really brought all of that stuff out. And, you know, back in the day, the crappy special effects that we saw with the old Twilight Zone and Outer Limits, and heck, even original series Star Trek, that was okay. You got the idea, but it was what was going on with the story, your connection with the characters. That is what made the movie. Hydraulics, they wanted to make a low-budget movie. They had the ability to do special effects like breathing. They can do that kind of stuff. What? Don't tell me, why would you spend one night putting together a script like this and then trying to craft the effects around the shabbiest, most cliched, poorly constructed, oddly timed flake of a script? You know, so why don't they just ask some of the screenwriters over at BU? Someone else over. Because listen, there are people who write books, who write science fiction stories, who write movies that are dying to get into the field. They are dying to get
their
work.
They probably would have wrote that shit for years.
And if they just said, wait a second, you are Hydraulics and you're looking for a story, give me 2 days in my bedroom alone, you know, and I promise you, I can come, I'll give you, just credit me on this, and you guys do all the effects, just give me the opportunity to put the, there are so many great stories, so much they could have done, and they put their beautiful effects on top of it,
Carl,
for that same budget,
Carl,
for that same amount of money.
Carl, your 15 bucks is gone, pal. It's just gone.
That and my red brain.
It's just gone. It's gone. You're never going to get that money back. I spilled tea all over myself. You know, tea tastes like dishwater. I was so upset. Guys, you know, if you saw this movie and you saw something different, let us know.
I want to meet you.
Ain't
nothing different. Oh, and here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. At the beginning of the Boston University article, the first line in the interview says, before the release of his first film, Liam O'Donnell was already being asked about a sequel. I went on IMDb, and Skyline 2 is already up there. Now, given its incredible performance in the box office, I cannot imagine they are actually going to go through with it. But it's on IMDb.
That's the second time this podcast episode that I've been speechless. I don't have words for that.
I know
this makes me tired.
It doesn't.
Makes me tired. Well, guys, we're gonna wrap this one up. Skylar, I don't have anything else positive to say about this thing. Polishing.
It was heartbreaking.
It was, man. It makes me. It drained me of all my energy. The blue light. It did.
I went in with an expectation up here, and what?
What's wrong with you? Why would you do that? I didn't. And I went in there with low expectations. I went in there thinking we were going to see the, you remember that movie I made you watch on Sci-Fi Original with the Western and the aliens? I thought it was going to be, I went in with expectations like that. And I was still disappointed.
Still disappointed. Yes. Oh boy.
Yeah. So, guys, leave us a comment on Sci-Fi Party Line. Give us a tweet. At Sci-Fi Party Line. We're on Facebook as well. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this turd. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye.